If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a viewer of a once popular TV show get a sign of a star's death before it actually happened?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And as you may or may not know, I don't know if you're a new listener to the show, welcome. We have created what's quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories here on this program over the last almost 9 years. And that's all part of our EPP program, where you can get access to all of that. Literally 9 years of podcasts almost every day. So that's where we have the largest audio archive of ghost stories. EPP bonus episodes that we create every single week exclusively for our supporters. An ebook and audiobook, both Amazon and Audible bestsellers. You get all that when you support our show as an EPP extra podcast person. You sign up for it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. That's how we keep the show on the air, and we appreciate your support if you can check that out. Patreon.com/realghoststories. It's Tony and Carol with you today. I was kind of relating to the intro there, where we're talking about the woman hearing or foretelling of a star's death prior to the actual death, because I remember having a dream a couple years ago, and it involved Bea Arthur and a large pack of Norwegian killer bees. If you remember that that epidemic that was striking northern Minnesota in the summer of 04. It was tragic. I could see Bea out in the field, and she was out there, and it was, I'm not trying to make a pun of bees and Bea Arthur. It was just,
you do know she spells her name differently, right?
Yeah, it is what it is, because she was stung to death, in her backyard, in her jacuzzi, when she was having that swingers party. And it was a really weird ending to be Arthur, because none of us really, she always played that uptight, you know, character on Golden Girls. I mean, everybody thought Blanche, you know, maybe Betty, I don't know, maybe in that world, but be Arthur. And it was really weird, because
they kind of got a little crazy sometimes,
but I mean,
they share some memories.
Rest in peace, be Arthur, for the stinging to death incident in the hot tub when she was having the swingers party in 98. But it's sad.
Now you know there are people going, oh my God, I didn't know that.
This is where they start Wikipediaing, being like, I completely made all of that up. It's called satire.
Or it's called the news.
It's exactly.
That's like a lot of people's newscasts.
Here in 2021.
They just tell you some random shit and you go, oh, really?
True. Did you hear BR? Somebody will have only listened to like the first part of the show and have turned off the podcast, and they'll be going into work going, did you know that B. Arthur was a swinger?
And she got killed by like bees.
Norwegian bees.
Which is Norwegian bees, which was really ironic.
In her hot tub.
Her name was Bea.
Did you know, I think I had some of them Norwegian bees in my backyard that year. I got some of that insecticide out, and we busted those bitches up. The bees were gone.
And yeah, because now everybody's going to remember them Norwegian bees.
Fucking B. Arthur. Norwegian bees during that orgy.
And you think murder hornets are bad? If they could kill B. Arthur, she's like 7 foot tall.
Jesus Christ. Powerful fucking bees. Those bees going after B. Arthur when she's just trying to enjoy herself. I don't know what.
Just crazy.
It's crazy shit. Crazy shit. I heard they were filming it too for one of them internet pornography websites she was starting to get into.
I'm telling you in seriousness right now. If something happens to Betty White, who's 99.
Yeah.
And I say if because I want that woman to live forever.
Yeah.
I honest to God think they should have a National Day of Mourning.
I agree.
Because I love her so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved her, like, way back on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. But she's this brilliant comedic actress.
Yeah.
And she's just a good person.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Oh, my God. Because each one of the Golden Girls, I love them all so much.
Sure.
But Betty White, I'm like, don't ever let anything happen to her.
I love Betty White. My favorite character on the show was Blanche. I just thought she was the funniest and just always had.
Just such a slut.
Yeah, I know. That was what made it so funny.
I love a woman who's in her 50s and can still be a slut.
Yeah, it was great.
In a rather respectful way.
Yeah, yeah.
And her girlfriends don't slut shame her or anything. They just tease her and jab her.
It's funny. You'd be funny now to go in and pitch a show where it's like, it's Sex in the City, but everyone's in their 50s. And that's how you're pitching. And they're like, oh, we're actually doing that this season, but it's with the real Sex in the City cast.
And it would never go over.
They're making it again.
Right, actually, you are
right. It's coming back. Yes.
You are right.
It's Golden Palace part two, you know, but it's scary because, I don't think Kim Cattrall's participating.
No, she's not.
So, I don't know. Anyway, that's our Golden Girls to Sex in the City chat here on The Ghost Show. But it was a scary thought to think of Bea Arthur in those positions. Let's talk about that for just, I'm kidding. Anyway, it was all a fake. None of that's real. Totally made up shit. So that was just for your listening enjoyment. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, I'm Janet from East Texas, and I've just become an EPP. I absolutely adore your show, and I love your family. Listen about every day, and it's just like I'm visiting. You guys are so real and down to earth. It's super awesome to finally find a place to be with so many people who share my weird obsessions. My story's not really about a ghostly encounter. I'm not sensitive like that, though I wish I were. It was about a dream I had when I was 14 or 15. I had always felt a strange connection with Dan Blocker from the old Western series Bonanza. I loved that show. Never missed it. Back when I was growing up, we had that old-fashioned TV that when you turned it off, it would fade out slowly into kind of a circle until the screen went black. I'd often be watching TV until bedtime, and my mother would be getting ready for bed in the bathroom down the hall from our living room. I dreamed that I was watching Bonanza, but the only thing on the screen was Dan Blocker, who, of course, played Hoss Cartwright on the show. I remember thinking it a bit curious that he was alone on the screen, no background of any sort. My mother called to me to turn off the TV and to go to bed. The room was dark and the only light was coming from the hallway. I said, no, that's Hoss Cartwright. But she insisted that I turn off the TV. Finally, she came into the room and turned off the TV despite my objections. I watched as he slowly faded into a circle of light until the screen went black. I remember feeling quite sad, but I guess that's where the dream ended. The next morning, as I was lying in bed thinking about getting ready for the day, I heard my mom and my uncle talking in the living room. I usually listened to them talk as he would drop by most mornings for coffee on the way to work. I was shocked when I heard my uncle say, "Did you hear that Dan Blocker passed away?" I've never had any other experiences like that, and everyone I ever talked about thought it was crazy. To this day, I can still see him fading away into that tiny circle of light. I have another story about a shadow person I saw when I was incredibly young. I'll save that for another time, though. Thank you guys for all you do. I really love the show. I'm overly excited to become an EPP, and I'm looking forward to binging on those episodes. Thank you so much for all those kind words and that story. Yeah, the old days of the TVs fading into the oblivion, there was a spookiness to that. I kind of missed that.
And you got like three channels.
Yeah. And sometimes you turn on the TV, it takes like a minute or two to warm up and get on and for the picture to fully get bright.
Yeah.
But
and I think that's an interesting story, though. Like, I totally believe it. Mm-hmm. And but it's interesting that you would have a premonition like that, or maybe he had already passed at that time. But like, is that like Dan Blocker wanting her to know that he had died?
That's what I'm wondering about the special.
Or is it?
Yeah.
Or is it like Dan Blocker did it to a lot of people that night because he was famous?
Well,
and
yeah.
He was hot.
Will there be an influx of stories that go, holy shit, I had that same experience?
I mean, there could be.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
I didn't mean B. Arthur or B's, but...
Yeah. Now you put everybody back to thinking of B. Arthur in a compromising position in a hot tub full of Jell-O. Because the Jell-O part was weird. I don't know why she had to have the... That's probably what attracted the fucking bees.
And now, when I watch the Golden Girls, I'm just going to think of her being a swinger.
She's sugar-free. I mean, that wouldn't have attracted the... No, had to have the full-on regular Jell-O. Jesus Christ, B. Lemon-lime at that.
Nope.
I mean, come on. Anyway.
But I just think that's interesting that, like, I mean, he was famous and everything.
Yeah.
But, excuse me, it could have been someone, you know, she didn't know, like, what, because she didn't.
Yeah.
Why would he have come to her like that?
I don't know.
That I don't know. I can't explain that part.
It is, it's bizarre. Because, the specificity of it, to her specifically, I mean, it's unless she finds, and by the way, turns out my real father was him. My mother had an affair on the set of Bonanza.
Oh my God, and she has to go on and get her online
DNA.
DNA test.
Yeah, she's going to find out that her real dad was Haas. And she's also related to the Golden State Killer, which is pretty exciting. You know, it's a two for one. You find out what serial killer.
There might be some money in there somewhere for her.
Exactly. A great book. A great book and a Nancy Grace interview is what she's got in store. And a lifetime supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat, the parting gift of every game show from 1974 to 1988. Let's go to story number two of the day. Let me start by saying my childhood was an extremely hard childhood. I was dealing with so much and was very vulnerable as I was in pretty much in the state of mind for something to attach to me or I could take it home with me, which is exactly what I had done. So with that said, when I was a young child, I would say it started around the age of 5 years old, I'd gotten a chicken bone stuck in my throat and needed emergency surgery. So I'd have to stay in the hospital for a couple of nights. I was terrified, but still a typical child, I was very curious and loved to explore. That's exactly what I did. I explored as much of it that was very dimly lit, cold, and incredibly old, creepy hospital as much as I could. After all, I was only five and could explore a small amount of the hospital. There was this one room that did not feel safe right off the bat. I decided to walk into the room because no one was in them. Then I saw in the corner of this darkened room facing the wall was a tall, shadowy man thing. He never even turned to acknowledge me until I was running out of the room. I ran back to my room, pulled the sheets over my head, and hoped it did not follow me back. So when I was finally well enough to go home, I was excited. So when I was home for a few days, I realized something was not quite right. At first, it started out with toys you had to wind, would sing or talk on their own. Then the feeling of something was near me all the time, and something that was not safe, not comfortable, and not good. That's when the sighting started. This thing I would see was tall, about 7 feet tall. It was a shadow man. He wore a hat, and the only way I can describe this hat was like an old-fashioned barber hat. He had red eyes that pierced through your soul, and his finger was extra long. Well, every single night I would get up through the night to use the bathroom, and every night he was at the bottom of the stairs. I would not look down the stairs going into the washroom, but had no choice to look down the stairs to see them staring up at me with those very red, bright eyes. He'd always lift his head and left arm to point one of those extra long fingers at me. It would dart to my room every night and hide under my blankets. I see this thing throughout my whole childhood, sadly, jumping ahead to when I had two daughters of my own. My oldest daughter was around the same age as I was, which would be 5 years old, when she started having what I thought were night terrors. One day she started telling me what an evil man looked like. She dubbed him with the name Evil Man. She described to a T the tall shadow man with a hat, long fingers, and red eyes that I saw. So at this point, I knew it was back. And now, after my daughter and I had to protect her. One night when my girls were at the grandparents for the night, my sister and ex-brother-in-law showed up for a few drinks. Keep in mind, my brother-in-law never had any idea that evil man or shadow man existed. We were only on our first drink when he went upstairs to use the washroom. When he came downstairs, he was chalk white. I said, "What's wrong? You look like you've seen a ghost." And he slowly turned toward my face and uttered the words, "I did, but worse." And then went on to tell me there was a tall shadow person wearing a hat and staring down into my daughter's bed, where she would have been sleeping if not for her being at her grandparents'. So realizing this thing did not care who had seen it or what time of day it was, when I was seen, or when it was seen, I knew I had to do something. I contacted my local priest to do a blessing on my house, and he hung blessed medallions in a wall in each room. It must have worked, because I never, nor did my daughter, see this evil demonic thing again. Thank God. That's my very creepy and very real and true ghost story, or nightmare, however you want to describe it. To this day, I still cannot work up the nerve to search shadow people online because, to be honest, I'm terrified of what I'll find. Thank you for taking the time to at least read my story. Yeah, I don't think you want to Google it. That's kind of like, you know, Googling a mole.
Right? Googling any symptom.
Don't
fucking
do it.
You're going to come up with a horror story of scenarios. Yeah. And that's exactly the same thing that would happen.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting. So do you think like something can attach its? I mean, obviously, I guess something could attach itself to you.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And go home with you. But then to continue that same thing with your child.
Yeah. I think anything can attach to anybody anywhere. I mean, I think there's certain ways where you can increase your odds. But I think sometimes it's just wrong place, wrong time. And yeah, I mean, what attaches to you could just be a friendly old grandma, or it could be something that is malevolent and has nothing but bad intentions and just sees you as a vehicle to travel along and do whatever it's going to do. It certainly sounds like something happened. I used to love wandering around hospitals when I was a kid. Only
that
me.
Not surprising.
Cemeteries and hospitals. I mean, if I was there for like seeing a relative or something, and these are the days where you know, parents still, I guess, gave their kids more freedom than they should have had, to be completely honest.
Because you weren't old enough to go into the room. So it's like, you wait here, honey.
But oh my God, I would do that all the time. We'd do it at nursing homes and at hospitals. Because we'd visit my great-grandmother, which was kind of a hospital-like facility. And then if we were at, and I think it was mainly when she was in the hospital, you know, she had to go move over there for a little bit. We'd go visit her there. And there'd been some other relatives on and off in hospitals. But I always remember I would always just wander around. And then I go explore the cafeteria. The cafeteria amazed me because you could get like all different types of Jell-O, and you know, it was a cafeteria. And cafeterias really weren't a thing much in the 80s anymore. So it was kind of a new environment for me, although it was a retro environment. But I would just hit random buttons on the elevator, go up and down, walk the floor, come back. God knows what floors I was on. But I would just be this kid wandering through the halls by myself.
That's funny.
Some people are probably like, I think I see my grandson walking down the hall. You know, it probably did that for some people, where in a good way and a bad way, where it's like, oh my God, but he's dead, you know, or oh my God, he's coming to see me. No, he's not. He walked past the room with going to the Jell-O. So yeah,
he's obviously a dead child.
Exactly. I could have been a lot to a lot of people depending on how you look at it. But I would do that. I loved exploring. I loved going out and exploring locations that I guess you don't normally really see that much. I would go wander around a hotel in my hometown too, called the Retlaw, which has now been restored and has ghost stories to it, all that. It was even featured on This American Life once. And when I was working in radio, when I was 14, 15, it was right down the road. So after I got some work done in the morning, I would wander down to this hotel and go in through the back staircase. And I would just kind of wander around and just explore it and look at all the woodwork and just kind of imagine what had gone on in this place. Because it was like 100 years old and it looked like the Titanic. And it was just, I just loved wandering weird places like that. I don't know why. I guess I do this now, so it makes sense.
No, it's always been part of who you are.
Yeah.
You know, But, I mean, thank God nothing followed you home, wandering around hospitals and all the freaking places you went.
I look at it, graveyards, I look at all that and go, I'm kind of lucky that didn't happen, you know, or did it? You know, I don't know. I have nothing to recognize to say, and here's my ghost story of what followed me home. And most people who have that have the story and can trace it. So I guess I lucked out, or maybe the ghosts want nothing to do with me. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to the caller. Hi, it's yours.
Hi, everybody. I've been listening to your podcast for almost a year now. I just kind of wandered onto it. Anyway, I really enjoy all your stories, and I have buckets and buckets of paranormal stories from my past as a child and everything. But I was just listening to an episode you were talking about that do movies trigger like more paranormal activity? And then you actually brought up The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and I had a very paranormal experience after watching that movie. Pretty much take it back. Me and my friend, Aiden, moved into this apartment in Austin, Texas, and it was on the third floor in the corner. Really like vaulted ceilings and everything. It was really open and wonderful. But I always felt like somebody was like watching me, like from the beginning, like always in the kitchen. Like when you walked in, the kitchen was immediately to your left, and then it opens up to the living room, and then our bedrooms are sectioned off from there. So at the entrance, I always felt like somebody was watching me. And also in the shower, that was a thing that reoccurred as well, like where I'd be washing my face and I just felt somebody like standing outside the shower curtain. I'd always like tear it open and no one would be there. So anyway, weird stuff would happen. My dog would always look over in that area and like growl and stare. But this one night, a friend of ours had a hookup, like a friend that worked at the movie theater, and we're like, "Wow, let's go see this movie, Exorcism of Emily Rose. Let's get scared." And so we go and see it, and it scared the shit out of us. Like, I love horror movies, but when it comes to possession, that's always been something that like just terrifies me. And so we had like occurrences like where it sounds like somebody was in the kitchen occasionally, but it was all really mild. And anyway, we get back that night and we're both scared. And so we're like, we're both going to sleep in the living room and we're watching like happy stuff, like funny sitcoms and what have yous. And we both are passed out. Like, my roommate was sleeping on the couch and I was leaning against the couch, like with my back to it and like watching TV. And the cat was sleeping on my lap. And so just a little fact about the cat is, whenever it wanted to get fed, it would like go into the kitchen and like open the cabinet a little bit and it would go and like shut. And that's when you knew, oh, the cat needs to be fed. Cause we kept the food under there. And so trailing back, I'm sleeping on the floor, leaning against the couch, and I'm kind of like in and out of sleep. And then I hear, and like the cabinet doors were like opening and shutting. And I like woke Aiden up. I'm like, Aiden, wake up. Did you hear that? She's like, oh no, it's just the cat. And I was like, the cat's right here on my lap. And so we both just kind of like hop on the couch and kind of made it through the night. Then once the sun started coming up, I decided to like go to bed. And that night, I had the most intense dream about being possessed, where like I can feel the pain and closure and suffocating feeling of not being able to control my body, and that someone else was in charge. Yeah, it was a really intense, vivid dream that I can think of, I remember still to this day. But anyway, that all happened. From that point on, we always had just that feeling somebody was watching the cabinets. The kitchen was more of an active place. But we had electrical problems, the TV would just turn off, and if you talk to it, it would react and kind of turn back on, being sassy. There's a lot more that goes on. The history of my roommate also has had lots of experiences from a child where she has had paranormal activity, and actually that same TV would turn on in the middle of the night at another apartment, and it would show a car crash or a murder or something, from what I remember. I'm not exactly sure. I remember her saying car crash, but anyway, I don't know if something followed us there or if something already existed there, and the fear and the thought thinking of the possession, and it just feels like when we got home, the whole apartment was stimulated. So anyway, I thank you for listening. Hopefully you'll play this. If not, no big deal. I have so many more stories, buckets of stories. But you said those two ingredients, and I was it's time. I got a call. So here I am. I called. My name's Laura. I live in St. Louis, Missouri now. But anyway, thank you. I appreciate everything you do. It's a weekly thing. I sit on my patio and I listen to your podcast at the end of the night, and love it. Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your stories with us. Wouldn't it be weird if you're going for a walk at night and you suddenly heard your voice? I mean, we've done that when we're on the radio, local radio, but we're not there anymore. And you're just in another city walking around, you hear your voice coming from somebody's patio. It's like, wait a second. And then you really freak them out. And you're like, hey, that's me. They're like, what the fuck?
you're a ghost.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Not you.
Yeah, that would just, the odds are not there. But what are your thoughts on the story?
You know, I think that sometimes with those movies, I swear that's why I had to quit watching really scary movies. Because I don't know if it was just opening me up for weird shit to happen.
Yeah.
Or especially when I slept. I would have the most vivid, horrific, horrible nightmares. And I can watch a murder show and I don't have that. I mean, I don't like head 'em up shows at all, but
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I do think that sometimes when you see something that, and I was with her, especially on the possession shows, when I did go see The Exorcist, when they re-released it in the movie theater, because of course I had to,
yeah.
Which is a funny story, but I went the first matinee of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get there and we walk in and there's nobody else there. And so my friend and I made this joke about, okay, let's find the center seats. Is it this row? Is it this row? It's this row. This is center. And then we were like, is this the center seat or is this one? And we were making this big deal about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the previews start and this guy and his son walk in and they're walking up and they're getting closer to our row. And mm-hmm. I'm like, they're not going to pick our row.
Yeah.
And they did. And so they come down on our row. Keep in mind, we're the only two people there. And they left one seat in between. And they sat in the other two. And I was like, are you kidding me? Is that Tubular Bells you're playing in the background?
Of course it is.
And I'm like, ah! But isn't that, who does that? And then, who goes to The Exorcist? And all I said to my friend, I go there, obviously, his kid wanted to see it. He's too terrified, mm-hmm. which is why I picked the matinee. And then he had to sit by people.
That's why you
we got up and moved.
What you suddenly do at that moment is you pull a crucifix out of your purse and you...
No, instead, I just got into my fanciest back bend and started walking down the stairs. That's the scene they cut from the original one.
What was
she
it?
Literally, she's in like a back bend and she walks downstairs.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
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 It is so creepy when she does that. And I think they act, you know, it was the 70s or whatever, so the effects weren't all that great, but I think they actually had some contortionist type of girl who could do that. She did that.
Wasn't it one of the things that like hurt her or something?
Oh yeah, like
there
I think
there was so
I
many
met
things.
Linda Blair once, and she I think I've mentioned this before. Yeah. She signed a can of was it pea soup? It was something split pea soup. But I don't know what I did with it, which is really weird.
Did you have her sign at Your Mother Sucks, Cocks in Hell, Love Linda Blair or anything? Because you could have also delivered that
like,
line in the movie
Linda,
theater.
Say it, Linda.
You could have done that. That would have definitely made those people move, and you could have kept your seat. Just saying.
God dang, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't we have this conversation?
It's all retrospect. You know, you're like,
but
oh,
I'm
hindsight's
so with 2020. Her. I'm so with her on those possession shows, especially. Yeah. And so I do think that, I don't know what it is. Like, I just swear, maybe I'm more open to stuff happening after I've exposed myself to something like that. I don't know. But I don't watch the possession shows anymore. Yeah. I haven't done it in years. Like, I might have seen that Emily Rose one.
Oh, yeah. That was the name I was trying to think of the other day. Yeah. The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And that was on, that's like almost a 20-year-old movie now. But it was a good one. I thought, but that was one where I didn't like how they were using the demon names, like in the movie.
See,
that
penny him up.
That made me uncomfortable.
That could have been why she was having, you know, why that happened to her.
Yeah. That made me uncomfortable. That was the one where I'm like, I don't like this part. But. Yeah, but there's like, I guess they'll do what they're going to do. But yeah,
right.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater and it was just, that was, then I watched it at home and I was more concerned at home. I'm like, I don't like this.
I'm putting myself up to some shit.
It's like, I'll keep every horrible scene on, but it's like, you start saying the demon names. It's like, fast forward. It's like my mom, like when boobs showed up on television. Hey, David, where's the remote? David, he shouldn't be seeing this. He shouldn't be seeing those titties. What is our son? Stop looking at the television, Tony. Don't look at those titties. Very.
All right, Mom, I'm not looking at them really.
I don't think my mom has ever said that word.
I quit looking at titties if you will just shut up.
I don't think I could ever picture my mom even using that word in a sentence, but it's so much more funny to think of the animated version of her that would. Because it's just like super, you know, over exaggerated everything. And my dad's like, what? Huh? Well, I don't know where the remote is. I don't know. Yeah. And there she is, like, titties, stop it. Titties on your eyes. The panda of Satan on the screen is coming to get us all. Oh! Yeah. But.
And your mom doesn't sound
it. Not at all. Like no. Although she did protest over the, we're recording this Easter, right after Easter weekend, and Harper and my mom went out and did some sidewalk chalk on the front, on the driveway, because that's what you do with an eight-year-old. It's fun. It's spring, you know, and she got some in her Easter basket. So we did that, and then I came out, and then Harper's like, let's do an evil Easter bunny. And so she drew, like, originally we're going to do an Easter Bunny, like, chalk outline as if he was murdered. But that is like, yeah, it's kind of hard to tell that this is, like, supposed to be a chalk outline. It looks more like the Easter Bunny's, like, just kind of an outline. Like, we should get more detailed. She's like, you're right. And so we get, like, big teeth on him. And then she's like, and I'm going to draw an Easter basket, and it's going to be heads.
Oh, that's funny.
And the Easter Bunny's holding, like, a butcher knife. And the Easter Bunny has a shirt on that says, Bunny's Coming. And it's evil-looking, red-eyed Easter Bunny. So
that's hysterical.
Yeah, that's my daughter. On one side, it's like she drew a sunflower and all these pretty things. And the other side, an Easter Bunny with a basket of heads, severed heads. And the bunny wearing a shirt that says, Bunny's Coming. She's in her beautiful yellow spring dress and just, you know, having a wonderful day.
Oh, she was adorable.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is... And she just laughed, you know, and she finds humor in all things dark, just as I do. And I would draw shit like that when I was a kid, too. More for so for, like, I think, shock factor. But my mom still has the same reaction to her that she had to me. It's just like, oh, you had to make him into the devil, didn't you? Because she put horns on, or actually, I put the horns on the bunny. I said, no, I put the horns on the bunny. And you turned him into the devil. No, it's supposed to mean it's an evil bunny. It's not like the incarnation of Satan. It's just, you know.
It's chalk art,
it's
Mom.
It's chalk art.
Let it go.
It's not Satan turning into an evil devil. Like, no, it's not. Then, Mom, all goats are Satan, too, I guess. Because.
Oh, yeah, those eyes.
Yeah. But it's like, no, it's not. It's just like, no, I just can't leave it alone. Just be a nice, pretty chalk picture. Okay.
Well, and me, I walked out of my house yesterday to take my dog for a walk, and across the street, they have a bunch of kids. Yeah. And I was like, I wonder what they lost. And I'm walking my dog trying to figure out what they lost, because they have all the kids looking for it. And then I'm like, oh, they have baskets. Oh, it's an Easter egg.
Easter.
But I initially, I'm like, I wonder what they lost.
Silly bastards.
Everybody's looking for it.
Kids, what are you looking for? Can I help? Here comes Auntie Carol. Did you lose your puppy? Who's that woman that's following my children around right now? Harry, call 911. There's a strange woman following the children around. She's helping
them. She thinks we've lost something.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was funny, though. I cracked myself up when I realized what was going on. But for a while there, I was like, I mean, it must be little.
Sure.
Because they have a lot of people looking for it.
Another highlight of the holiday as we wrap up the show. We did not attend church this year because we're in COVID still. But my mom wanted to watch it online, her church that she goes to up in Wisconsin. I'm like, okay, well, let's, because we have a new theater room. We put a big screen up in one of the old bedrooms, and I'm like, well, let's do it in there. Let's make it, you know, I guess a little more like it. So we watched it in there. Oh, it was the boringest hour of my life. And it was like just this guy in front of bad wood paneling, and it was talking very monotone. And I like good.
It's like, come on, it's Easter. Like, this
please.
Is like the big day for you guys.
You're a public speaker, and I enjoy a good and not necessarily like crazy preacher, but I enjoy one where there's a message that you can relate or understand, or has, I don't know, different tones in their voice. And I said to her, would it be inappropriate, Mom, if I started shouting amen really loud after every random monotone thing he says and talking in tongues? Can you just respect this? Okay, I will. I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to have some fun, Mom. I'm trying to stay awake.
Like, we should have watched like a documentary or something on the, I don't know, something intriguing. But yeah, I mean, she had the best of intentions, I know, but it was just like, oh my God. It was
like literally, oh my God.
Literally, oh my God. Yeah.
He was risen.
It was just like, okay, that's yeah. Again, nothing bashing church, nothing, but it's like, if you know, having the idea that you want people to come requires a little bit of personality and would be nice. That's, you know, doesn't have to be, you know, a clown show or anything like that. Just a little.
And let's face it, a satanic Easter bunny has nothing to do with the church service anyway. So
no, until
it's not like you drew a picture of Jesus on the cross.
No.
And did something crazy.
No, I did nothing. I did like no like religious symbols, or it was an evil bunny. That was, I just thought it was silly, you know, that's all. But, you know, there you go. Happy post-Easter, everybody. As this airs, I think we're almost, where are we at in this? This is we're on May 14th. So.
Oh, wow.
There you go. And hopefully we're into close to summer by now. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Hope you guys liked the show. And if you do, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. E-fee-fee. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the archive, all of it, ebook, audiobook. It's only $5 a month, and you'll love it. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.